You are now entering the Who's House podcast.
I don't know, but I'm looking at the pythons right there, brother.
Man, you guys are crack-a-lacking up here, talking crazy. I feel still like I'm in Live nightclub, you know. Gruttenberg, man. I feel like Diplo's just tearing it down, man. Dead Mouse has climbed up my, man. I feel like I'm on fire. Cedric is in the house, too. Where is he at? I feel like all the music is beating me. You guys are crazy.
You just shocked me, Hulk, man. I thought you were like on some country shit. I don't know why I always thought you listened to country music and all that.
Dude, my boy Nick has brought me up to speed, man.
Get the fuck out of here.
Oh, son. Yeah.
Nick is there every Sunday, like,
dude,
banging it out.
Dude, he's all over the place. I mean, him and Cedric are in the studio all week long doing crazy stuff. And, you know, Nick introduced me to Deadmau5. I said, who's this guy with his helmet on his head, man? I said, damn.
Does he walk around with that thing?
Oh, no, I met him with the, and then he was cool, man. We hung, and the guy is straight up. I figured, you know, he'd be on some kind of crazy star trip, and he's just straight up cool, man.
Nah, he's mad cool.
He just hits it with A, you know, all that Canadian stuff, you know, but he's good, man.
I DJ with him in Toronto. He's mad cool.
Very conservative.
Not really into the bitches and all that crazy.
And Diplo and all these guys, man, you know, because you guys are like the new rock stars, you know what I'm saying? Like,
DJs, from right?
And the DJs are like the new rock stars, and I'm like, damn, they got respect for old man Hogan, and they're putting me over, and they're like, dude, they're like, their parents watch me wrestle.
Come on,
these
man,
guys,
you're a legend, man.
The DJs are like crazy, just putting me over. Like, it's, I mean, even back in the day when Lil Wayne started cracking, I mean, everybody, the game, everybody, it's like,
wow,
you know, Nicki Minaj, everybody's talking about Hulk Hogan. It's like, you guys are like giving me new blood. I'm like relevant. It's like, not to mention all the other crap I'm into, but brother, in the house.
Yeah, you are very relevant right now, buddy.
I'm like the male. Well, I didn't want to go there.
You've been saying brother for years. Any black guy ever said, you my nigga? Like, you my nigga, Hulk?
Well, Booker T used to do that to me on TV.
Yeah.
You know, and every time I pull up YouTube, there's that famous thing that Booker T, when his brother was there, and they're all talking trash. And Booker T goes, I'm coming for you, Hogan, you nigger. And not nigga, he goes, nigger. I mean, it's like, and it's still so cool, because the whole time I was down in Miami, you know, when I lived there, everybody, you know, like, I walk in the booth, and all of a sudden I bump into this guy in the games in the booth. It's all black, and he's got his BlackBerry, and I bump into him, and he goes, what's up, nigga? And I said, oh, dude, excuse me, bro, you know? He goes, no, it's all cool, you know? And everybody down there, Lil Wayne, Birdman, everybody, you know, they're all, you know, calling me nigga, and I'm like, and they say, Hogan, you can't say that. I said, well, why can't they say it to me then? It's like, you know, but brother was cool, because, dude, you know, back in the day, during my career, I used to party real hard. I couldn't remember anybody's name.
So brother was the easiest way to hide.
Yeah, yeah.
That's like the neutrality word right there. Hey, brother.
Yeah, they
I'm gonna start. You know what? That's a good idea.
Yeah,
because I'm always like, hey, shit.
No, they'd introduce me like to, you know, Dick Ebersol or somebody like that, or somebody that, you know, like Les Moonves that runs CBS, and within 10 seconds, somebody would walk in, I get ready to say, hey, brother, you know, this is so-and-so. And I was like, you know, I couldn't remember. So that's where it came from.
That's gangster.
So when you were partying, what was your poison of choice?
Oh, dude, stop.
Well, what wasn't it?
Wherever you're going, I've already been.
Okay, wow.
Let's just put it there.
Wow.
Okay. Let's just leave it like that.
There's a lot of new things now. I know you laugh
I got a new life, man. You know, I got a new life. I'm
these,
cool.
These kids now are doing all the new stuff I never even heard of. I was like, these new names.
Can't keep up.
I'm good. It's over, though. I'm good.
Yeah, I was telling my son and a bunch of other kids all this spice stuff and incense. I said, bro, that stuff is whack, man. I said, you guys stay away, because somebody's going to start flipping and convulsion and passing out. And sure enough, you know, the old man with the yellow boots, been around the block 20 million times. I try to tell these kids, you know, just I can, in the air, if I smell this stuff, smells whack. It smells like chemicals. So stay away from that crap, man. Yep.
Shout out to Hardeen Las Vegas, the best dispensary in the world.
I would love to see Hulk Hogan DJing a club, though. You ever did that before? Like, you just get in live, like, yo, take over real quick, brother. Right?
No, I don't want to mess. I don't want to mess things up, but, you know.
You know, you could come out with the... Rip the shirt off, and get behind the tables.
I take too many shots in 1942, and I end up on the stage, you know, and
or maybe you and your son, you know, you have like a routine or something.
Dude, last Wednesday at Live, when Diplo was DJing, I don't know what happened, but that kid who's really cool, man. I don't know what you guys think about this kid, but this kid is really cool. He's really for real. This Scott Disick kid from the Kardashians.
Yeah. Oh, get out of here.
I hooked up
with
him.
He is the coolest motherfucker.
Dude, he is so straight up. He's like my hero. When I grow up,
he's
I want to be
him. He's just like the TV show. He's exactly the same
kind. And he's such a good guy. That we started running and partying. And next thing I know, we're up on the stage going crazy, doing stupid stuff.
Scott Disick, yo, that's crazy.
You know, oh, yeah. He's cutting up shirts, and I'm ripping off the Liv shirts, and the girls are upside down with their feet on the counter, and Diplo's just grinding and tearing it down. And it's just like insane. My ears were ringing, bro, for like 3 days. I went to Impact Wrestling the next night, and my boy finally smarted me. He goes, Dad, I tried to have the earphones, but you just knocked them out of my hand. I didn't know that your ears would ring that long.
Yeah,
you know?
It's serious out there.
Like you said, like it's some rock concert shit now.
Yeah,
you
know? The stars, man. It's crazy.
Decibel level in there is like going to see, like, you know, Rush or Zeppelin or something.
You like Dr. Dre? You ever bang Dr. Dre before you go out? And
well, if you don't know, now you know he's my man, brother. Woo! Every time. Pow! You know, you got to go it's back to the source of the force, you know? And Big Papa, I'm telling you what, you can turn all this new stuff on. You can be the newest wrestler. You can jump off the top rope. But back at the end of the day, it's back to the creator, brother.
Thank you, pal. The Jesus Christ of wrestling is
here. No, I'm talking about the Jesus Christ of getting real with it in the streets. Ooh. You know, I'm talking about, you know, Big Papa. I'm talking much respect.
Boom.
Wow.
You know, no disrespect to anybody else, but go back to Biggie if you want to get
real about all
this other bullshit going on.
Yeah, man. Yo, last time you smacked Ed McMahon, like, what was last time you saw him?
Vince McMahon.
Vince McMahon. I'm sorry.
Oh my gosh, that was
Ed McMahon. God bless him.
I'm sorry. R.I.P.
That was WrestleMania 19. Man, me and him get into it up in Seattle. Actually, bro, you know when you get in the ring with somebody, you know when you got a house where there's 20, 30, 40,000, 94,000 people.
How does that feel, man?
Whatever it is, dang. I get in the ring with somebody, and I can tell how important, what we call how over they are, by the crowd reaction. I can just look at the crowd and look at them, and I can tell you if this is going to be easy or hard. If it's hard, you got to get in there and dig and go crazy and get everybody rumbled up. But, man, I looked at the crowd. I took one look at Vince McMahon in the ring, and the place just started rumbling. Ooh. I get, this is going
to
be a night off.
Is there years of grudges just bubbling up to be like, I can't wait to body slam this guy? No pranksters allowed.
You respect all the new wrestlers now? They're doing all these like physical stuff, and then they got like all this theatrical shit now. Like there's holes in the ring, explosions, and it's like a movie now.
Yeah, I do. You know, that's one of the reasons I'm kind of like jacked up about, you know, this TNA Impact Wrestling. You know, it's kind of like we're not trying to make wrestling, and this isn't a promo rap. This is just straight up. We're not trying to make wrestling like it used to be. We're trying to make wrestling how it should be.
Oh,
and it's still violent, man. It's still hitting people with chairs, and everybody gigging our heads with blades and stuff, man. You know, we're still real.
Wow, that's ill.
You know,
let's do that shit.
And no, red turns to green, brother. But anyway, at the end of the day, we're keeping wrestling how it should be. And you know, but one of the reasons I still think I'm important and I'm trying to pass this art form along is I watch some of these guys, and I never used to talk to anybody. I just go out in the ring, and I know who was going to win or lose because it's predetermined. And so if I had a 20 or 30 match with you or Andre the Giant, you listen to the crowd with your heart and your ear, and you know, like, if I twist the wrist and that's not working, maybe you should do something else. Or
that's crazy.
You kind of, like, listen to the crowd because it's an art form. But all of a sudden, these new wrestlers who I got mad respect for, I'll be at the production meeting at 12, and I'll be walking around. I'll see the two guys that are going to wrestle, and they've been talking for, like, 6 hours about it. 8-minute match. And I look at him and I go, you guys are planning all this shit out. I said, what happens if you get out there and everything that you're planning doesn't work? Do you just keep doing what's not working? You know?
Yeah,
so one of the reasons I'm there is I'm trying to tell these guys, and some of these guys have an 8-minute match and they do more moves in an 8-minute match than I did in 30 years. So I said, slow down, tell a story. One big punch, no, or like one big kick means more than hanging on the ropes and stomping a mud hole in a guy.
Exactly.
You have to tell a story, paint a picture. It's storytelling. It's drama. It's excitement. It's putting people on the edge of the seats, having them boo you, cheer you, having the building rumble, brother, when I come up.
Brother!
You know, and so I'm trying to be cool and pass this art form along because it's almost a lost art form.
Okay.
I got mad respect for these new wrestlers, and we've got these great new, first off, Jeff Hardy. this guy is a new
beast.
He's cutting edge, yeah, man. Yeah. But he gets it. You know, we got new guys like AJ Styles.
Oh, yeah, that guy's
Chris
too.
Daniels. Yeah. I'm in love with this guy. He's my superhero. We got Kazarian. And as soon as I told him to start slowing down a little bit, man, I mean, AJ Styles and Daniels and Kazarian, these guys are phenomenal. I mean, they're just like unbelievable. They're better athletes than I could have ever been in my prime.
You really got to be an athlete in this
and dude,
yeah, this is not for lightweights.
You're working hurt all the time, and it's these guys got mad respect for him.
I wanted to see a dream fight like Hulk Hogan and Mike Tyson.
It almost happened.
What happened?
We went nose to nose. Arsenio Hall set me up. And
get out of here, the guy with the big butt, the black nose.
Yeah, he had the Tonight Show for a while, you know.
Oh yeah.
And he said something. You know, you get invited to the Tonight Show like once a year. If you got a major motion picture going, or if you're in the clique, you just don't go on the Tonight Show every week. You know what I mean? So I get invited. I get invited on the Tonight Show, and we were talking. I was in my prime, and I had the belt. I was all jacked up, man, and young. And we were talking. He goes, "Oh, how'd you do with Mike Tyson if you get in the ring?" I said, "Well, tell you the truth, brother. Anybody that's got a pair of boxing gloves on, if he was to reach out and hit me, I would grab him, you know, because you can't defend yourself. I'd break his arm or something. Oh. You know, my dad promoted boxers for a while.
Show him what you would do to Mike Tyson to this Jewish guy.
No, no. You just, boxing gloves.
Hurry
up before you leave here.
Oh, there goes the rest.
But anyway, I said that. You know, and I said, you know, if I was in the ring with Mike Tyson, and he was dangerous. I mean, if he's like a bad dog at the time, you can see him in the eyes, you know. So I knew if you get inside, you know, he'd be coming at you. But at the end of the day, I seen him fight guys his own size, knock him out with one punch, or I seen him throw hundreds and hundreds of punches before he got him. So if he got close enough to me, I said, I'd grab him, take him down, we wouldn't be standing up anymore.
Wow.
So I said that. 2 weeks later, I get this phone call. Hey, Hulk, you know, we'd like to have you on the Tonight Show. Hulk, oh, sure. I'll come back. So I'm standing there by the curtain at the go position, and I see the monitor because they open the curtain for you to go out.
Right.
I see the monitor, and that was what Hulk Hogan said. If Mike Tyson was here, I'd drive his arm, da-da-da-da. So I walk out. Hey, funny. Ha, ha, ha. Sonny, funny. And before I sat on the couch, here comes Mike.
Oh, wow.
And
this is when he was.
Yeah, bro, he was the man.
Yeah.
And he came out, and I said, you know, Hulk goes, what do you got to say now? I said, this is the deal, brother. I stand by my statement. You go get your belt back, Michael.
Oh, shit.
I got my belt back. I got my belt on me. You go get yours back.
Then we
and let's find out. And, dude, we went, and he wanted to go nose to nose, so I had to bend down to go nose to nose. But when I bent down, you know, he's a gangster, bro, so I don't know if he's going to hit me or not, right? So I'm watching like a mad dog.
Ah,
seriously? Because I know he's got one shot. Yeah. And if he catches me, I'm done. But if he doesn't catch me, he's getting hurt bad. So we talked to him, and we talked to him, and Vince McMahon talked to him and talked to him. We chased him and chased him. And I don't want to get hurt. I don't want to do this. And he was really cool. And finally, we talked him into signing the deal to wrestle Hulk Hogan, boxer versus wrestler. It'd be a $100 million pay-per-view, the first one.
Wow.
The sucker goes to Tokyo and gets knocked out by Buster Douglas.
Damn, man. Wow.
And all of a sudden,
deal is off.
It wouldn't work. So now what do? Now we go after Buster Douglas, right?
Yeah.
So Buster Douglas was cool. He wouldn't even go anywhere near it, but he refereed. He saved us because we promised this match. He refereed a match between Macho Man and me, and I guess he ended up knocking out Macho, but it almost happened.
Shout out to Hardeen Las Vegas, the best dispensary in the world.